This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Back in on the drive, Carrington here, Kylie here, Sports Machine here, taking you up until 6 o'clock. Coming up in 30 minutes, we will hear from Ned Yost today live from Kauffman Stadium as the Royals have called up Nicky Lopez. We'll also get into the two players who are most affected by the Nicky Lopez news as he has been called up for your Kansas City Royals. Earlier today, Nicky Lopez joined Fesco in the morning for a really good interview. The first question started with, how did you hear about the news? Are you getting called up?
It was a weird day. So I had an off day on Saturday. I played Mother's Day, and then I had another off day. And usually when I have an off day, I play 6 days until my next one. So it was kind of a weird day. I slept in a little bit longer. My roommate, Nick Dini, actually texted me and was like, hey, you're not in the lineup again. And I was like, what? That's kind of weird. So I was like, I asked him, I was like, are you serious? And he's like, why would I lie to you about that? So I walked to the field, found out that I wasn't in the lineup. I didn't really think much into it. Actually asked the skipper, Brian Fulberg, why I wasn't in the lineup. And he told me it's an excuse of that I didn't get a hit on Mother's Day with the pink bat, so we're just going to sit here. So I'm like, okay, well, that's probably not true, but let's go with that. But I was, you know, sitting there the whole game, like, thinking, like, why am I not playing? Why am I not playing? And he pulled me in the office after the game, and he said, grab your phone. He's like, call your mom. And I was like, wait, why? And he's like, just call your mom. And so that right then and there, I thought, like, something was up, and he's like, hey, Mrs. Lopez, this is Brian Fulberg. I told your son that he didn't get a hit on Mother's Day as far as sitting him, but he's actually going to Kansas City. So that's when I kind of started tearing up. My mom started crying on the phone. And it was pretty crazy.
Okay, I'm getting emotional
Holberg's
now.
Holberg's been doing this to people lately,
yeah,
man.
This is
tricky.
That is really cool, man, to be able to not only get the news – but to share it live at the same time with your mom and you know, right after Mother's Day, you're getting the call up to the big league level, and to all experience that together. How much extra did that mean to have the opportunity to experience that together at the same time?
Oh, definitely. Just to be able to experience it with, you know, my mom, and then I was able to call my dad afterwards and my brother and agent and girlfriend. And it was just something that, you know, you only live once. You only get one call up. I called my parents when I got called up from single A to double A, double A to triple A, but this one definitely obviously takes the cake. And once I heard my mom start crying, that's when I got a little emotional, and it's definitely a day that I'll remember.
Did you drive down from like Omaha or Iowa, wherever you guys were yesterday? Did you drive down like faster than you've ever driven a car before to get here?
Yeah, so we were in Des Moines, and that was another part of the story. So our clubby Mike was down there too, and usually he doesn't come on the road trips, and he was just there, you know, he was just sitting there in the clubhouse, and everyone was like, why are you here, Mike? And I wasn't in the lineup, so that was just another thing that I was like, oh, I mean, people are saying maybe this is the day you get called up, but I didn't want to believe it until someone told me. So Mike, actually, right after the game, I got ready, packed my bags. He drove me back to Omaha. I was able to pack up my car really quick because there's just the things that I need right now. And me and my girlfriend drove down here. And, yeah, you know, I would lie to you if I said I wasn't going above the speed limit a little bit. But, we came down here pretty quick and got in about 11 o'clock.
You said you were going to talk to Witt. The other guy you got to talk to, Nicky, is Ned, because he wears number 3, but managers don't really wear jerseys. So are you going to approach Ned about wearing number 3, or are you just going to go with a different number?
I think I'll just be happy with whatever number I receive. obviously number three, I've worn number three, and I like number three, but I think Skip has been wearing that number for a little bit longer than I have, so I'm gonna let him take number three.
So you're not even gonna go in there and say, hey, I'll trade you. I don't think I'd want to be part of that
negotiation. Yeah. I just let that one go.
I'm just gonna, go in there. Whatever's hanging in my locker, that's what I'll be wearing today.
And that'll be. What number did Nicky Lopez wear his first year with the Royals? It'll go down as a trivia question. Well, we're excited, man. I know Kansas City's excited. This is kind of reminiscent of when Eric Hosmer got called up back in 2011 and kind of set this franchise moving in the right direction. And you guys have the opportunity to do that. And I know we talked to you about it a lot last year about being potentially the face of this franchise, but now you're kind of the new face, I think, of the Kansas City Royals, and you got to be excited about that, especially with all that young talent that's down there, man, right?
Definitely excited. I'm definitely excited for this new chapter of my career, and I'm ready to just get the ball rolling and hopefully we get off on the right foot. And I'm excited for the future of this franchise too, and we have a lot of good pieces, a lot of pieces that are already there in the big leagues, and a lot of pieces that are still, young and down the minor leagues. So I think it's going to be good, and actually I know it's going to be good, and I know that we'll be back on top sometime shortly.
All right, my man, take care. Good luck tonight. Have fun with it, and treat it like your wedding day, man. Enjoy the moment. Don't get too caught up in everything, but enjoy every moment of it.
Thank you very much. I will.
That was Fesco, Kling, and Nicky Lopez earlier today on Fesco in the Morning, as Nicky Lopez set to make his major league debut tonight against the Texas Rangers.
Yeah, the only thing, though, that's similar to the feeling when Haas got called up is Haas got called up May 6th, so it's the same month. But besides that, in general, I don't see a lot of comparisons, because when Hosmer came up, there was already a lot of hype for him. So you can remember, we heard about him at the minor league level, and we knew that the rest of the wave was following with Moose and Duffy and Salvia and Kelvin Herrera. I see this as a big move because he's a lot better player than Chris Owings, but is it that next wave of players for the Royals like we saw back in the day? Not quite.
It's not even anything close to Eric Hosmer. Eric Hosmer, when he got called up, there were shirts that said Hosmer Mania. I would say that every Royals fan at the time knew who Eric Hosmer was. We think that Nicky Lopez is a household name.
No, this is much more of a force move because Owings was so bad. I mean, if he would have just been okay, who's to say they would have brought Lopez up like they have now?
Yeah, I don't want to make it seem like I don't think that Nicky Lopez can be a good player. I certainly think that he can be that. I just don't think it's on the level of Hosmer. I mean, Hosmer was a top five pick in his draft class. I mean, he was supposed to be a guy who got the nine-figure deal that he eventually got. So, this just isn't that move. This is a really nice piece. How, like a basketball team, you need a Travis Relaford. You need somebody who can play good defense, defend, hit shots, to do that kind of stuff. Like, every team needs somebody like Nicky Lopez. The expectation is not for him to be Chase Utley. No one's saying he has to be an MVP, hit 300, hit 30 home runs. But while this team is trying to build and find out who their pieces are for the future, if you can call him up, if he can hit 265, he could hit 270, he can play a solid second base defensively, if he can be healthy and play every day, that's part of what gets you there. Like, sometimes when we talk about the core and the team, it wasn't just those five guys that we know that are going in the Royals Hall of Fame and why they did it. You needed guys like Alex Rios. You needed other weapons and other pieces to eventually help you win a World Series. This isn't any different to me.
Hopefully this is a piece that you add to this core that we've been talking about now for the better part of this season, because last year, the only thing that you knew you really had was Whit Merrifield. This year, Hunter Dozier has been a pleasant surprise. Adalberto Mondesi has been ahead of pace. Alex Gordon has had this resurgence. It'd be nice if this guy, Nicky Lopez, can step in and be a fifth good hitter, because you look at the rest of the lineup, you look at Jorge Soler and Billy Hamilton and Ryan O'Hearn and Martin Maldonado and Lucas Duda and the aforementioned Chris Owings. All those guys are hitting 245 or below. So the Royals need Nicky Lopez to come up. He's not going to hit 360 like he's been at the minor league level, but they need him to come up and hit 260 the rest of the way.
Here's what Dayton said about Nicky Lopez. He thinks that he's earned this opportunity.
Nicky Lopez has earned his opportunity to play in the major leagues. He is our type of player, a high energy, very athletic, makes contact, plays to win. He's everything that we desire in a player, and we're looking forward to watching him play.
I think the encouraging thing for the Royals is, again, you're adding a piece of someone who you think can be a productive major league player. I think there's a little bit of a gap right now on this roster when you look at the top half of it and the bottom half of it. The top half has had some really productive players. Jorge Soler has been really productive. Hunter Dozier has been productive. Adalberto Mondesi has been productive. Gordon's been productive. You hope that Nicky Lopez can be in the same. There's just been a gap between that tier and the next tier. I would say a pretty big gap between
those
two.
Going forward, though, it feels like you've kind of got the the infield figured out for the next few years. You've still got Salvi behind the plate. It looks like you'll have Dozier over at third. It looks like you got Mondesi at shortstop. And it looks like you got Lopez at second. So if you can figure out first base, the Royals infield for the next few years looks like it's promising.
Text line 69306 on the Protein House Eat with the Purpose text line. When was the last time we saw a call-up this big for the Royals?
You're Donovan Ventura, maybe.
I don't think this is that big. I think it's a nice day if you're the Royals. I wouldn't consider this to be a big call-up. The big call-ups to me are power hitters and guys you think are going to be frontline starters. Like, let's say that whenever Brady Singer comes up and he's your first-round draft pick, you picked him in the top five, you think that he can be your future ace. That first start, I think, is going to be really big. I would say Bubba's a little bit differently because he's from here and he was picked so high. Yeah. His first start, maybe it's lost a little bit of the luster and lore because Bubba wasn't the great minor league player that it was going to be. But, I mean, the day that Bubba gets called up, or if it, let's say that it happened in 2016, kind of after that run, it would have rivaled Hosmer's anticipation just because Bubba's so well known in this part.
Oh, I think Bubba, when and if he ends up coming up probably at the end of this year, it will be a bigger deal than whenever Brady Singer comes up, and a much bigger deal than Lopez tonight because of the local story.
I think it depends on when he gets called up. Like, let's say that his first game is September 15th. I don't know if it's that big of a deal because we're in the middle of football season. Like, if you want to capitalize on hype, he needs to come up like in June or July when there's nothing to compete with it. If he comes up on a Friday and then the Chiefs play in the next couple days, I don't know if it's as big as that.
And the hype for Bubba is only going to last as long as he's good. And quite frankly, he's been so inconsistent at the minor league level, it's tough to predict that Bubba Starling is going to come up and all of a sudden start tearing the cover off the baseball at the big league level. I don't see that happening.
Coming up in 20 minutes, we'll give you a chance to win $1,000 on our national cash contest. Ken Rosenthal had an interesting nugget on Alex Gordon today. And with Nicky Lopez coming up, the Royals have 6 of their 9 positions spoken for next year. We'll tell you who coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
Back in on The Drive, it sounds like in 5 minutes we will hear from Ned Yost live from Kauffman Stadium to talk about the big news of the day. Nicky Lopez has been called up for your Kansas City Royals. It would appear, like, we talk a lot about the core, and you're really big on the core, which makes a lot of sense. Like, that's kind of the foundation and backbone of this whole thing. It would appear that they have 6 of their 9 positions already spoken for. For next year. So let's say opening day. Let's fast forward. Let's say that this year kind of goes how we think it's going to go. They win 65 games, but there's a little hope and optimism for next year as they're starting to kind of bring some of their younger players up. We agree. At catcher, Salvador Perez.
Yeah.
Second base, Nicky Lopez.
Sure.
Shortstop, Adalberto Mondesi.
Absolutely.
Third base, Hunter Dozier.
I'm with that, yeah.
Right field, Whit Merrifield.
Yeah.
Designated hitter, Jorge Soler. If that's your foundation of 6 players, who knows what happens with Alex Gordon, who I think is a capable left fielder, certainly, and turn things around offensively, you shore up the bullpen a little bit, you make 1 or 2 moves when it comes to your starting rotation. There's no reason to think that if these guys continue to progress how they've progressed so far, that you can't win 75, 77 games next year again if guys continue to develop.
Do you see those pitchers, though? Do you see those pitchers at the big league level? Do you have any faith in Brad Keller? Do you have any faith that Jacob Junis is going to turn it around? Do you believe that Danny Duffy is the pitcher? Because when he's good, he's great. He's just so wildly inconsistent. Do you see the pitching? Because I agree with you. They're set at catcher. They're set at right field. They're set at shortstop, third base, second base. But doesn't that all fall flat on its face if you don't have any sort of pitching, especially a starting rotation?
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, at some point, they're going to have to develop starting pitching, and they're going to have to get a lot better. I'm with you. That's their biggest flaw right now, and it's not even close. Their biggest flaw right now is they appear to be way further ahead when it comes to position player-wise than they appear to be with their rotation.
Because the last time they brought up a wave of players way back in 2011, which is kind of what they're doing now and have done for the last couple of years, there were pitchers involved. There was Danny Duffy. There was Kelvin Herrera. Eventually, there was your Donovan Ventura in 2013. To me, that's the difference from that last wave when the Royals actually got good, went to back-to-back World Series, and right now. Don't get it twisted. I'm with you. There's reason for optimism. I feel a lot better right now than this time last year. But if there's no pitchers on the forefront that I can see that the Royals are really developing, it's tough to say, yeah, they're going to be really good in 2020 or 2021 without the arms.
I think it's a little bit different this year as opposed to last year is. I think you at least see what the plan is. Now, the plan, at least in 2019, is not resulting in a lot of wins. But I think you can at least see that the plan starting out is, these are our core of guys, this is who we're going to build around, and we'll see who else can join. Like, maybe Bubba Starling comes up here in June, and then he hits really well, so you feel like in center field, Bubba Starling is a part of the 6. I'm not even saying that all six of these guys are quote-unquote your core, but I think you're at least starting to see the plan, where last year it kind of felt like they were doing some patchwork. They were signing guys to one-year deals that had no future with the Royals. I mean, if that's your opening day, six of your nine players, Salvi, Nicky Lopez, Alberto Mondesi, Hunter Dozier, Whit Merrifield, and Jorge Soler, and let's say that Duffy starts your opening day, you can at least see what they're trying to do. And to me, you are moving closer towards rebuilding this thing.
I'm not sure that Duffy's part of that plan. I'm not sure that Jorge Soler is part of that plan, because quite frankly, when it comes to the Royals pitching, I think all those guys should be trade bait. Do you disagree? I think if somebody comes knocking and says, we're interested in Danny Duffy, we're interested in Brad Keller, the Royals should absolutely answer that phone call, because the value that those guys have right now compared to the player that they could get back that would really help the Royals when they're winning two or three years from now isn't even close.
I wouldn't trade Brad Keller.
Why?
I just look at how old he is right now and what he can be. I just, to me, you're, at this point, you're selling incredibly low on Brad Keller. He's 23 years old, and you have him on a club-controlled deal. Why would you give up on Brad Keller?
I guess only because he's taking a big step back this season. I thought this was going to be the year you take a big step forward. He's taking a big step back, and I wouldn't trade any of these guys for nothing. But I think that you can get something back for a Brad Keller or a Jacob Junis or even a Danny Duffy.
Yeah, I just think that Brad Keller at his age just has way more to help you than anything. If Brad Keller was 28 years old, I'd be on your side. But, man, he showed you a little bit of promise last year. I mean, he went 6-9 last year, gave you 140 innings, had a 3 ERA. Now we're willing to move on from him in 9 starts. I feel like it's very premature to have that conversation about Keller. Let's head to Kauffman Stadium and hear what Ned Yost has to say.
In the second, is that where you want him long term?
Probably. Yeah, I think so. It's a twofold move a little bit, because I want Mondy long term hitting 3. So, you know, I could have put him into a situation where you know, we could have hit him 7th or 9th, but I've never done that. You know, I figure you look at Nicky's minor league numbers, he's always been a high on base, a high contact guy. You've got Whit and Nicky conceivably are going to be able to score runs. Mondy and Gordy are at the top of the league in RBIs. So that's what you want. You want guys to get on for your run producers and let them drive them in. So, you know, Nicky's going to eventually get there in a week or so anyway, so just go ahead and start him out there. That's always been my philosophy.
What do you like about his game? I mean, you've seen the last couple of spring trainings.
I like the fact that he pays attention. That's what I like. Spring training, we would go and play, like the Angels, and everybody would be sitting on the bench when, Mike Trout came up, except for Nicky Lopez. He was watching every move. Nicky never ever stopped watching. Nicky was never not paying attention to the game. He's got great work ethic. He's got great tools. He has an idea of what he wants to do offensively. And now you just let him. I mean, he'll have growing pains up here. I mean, just like he's a young kid. He's not, as I said earlier, Abraham Lincoln coming to do the Gettysburg Address. You know, he's gonna have his ups and his downs, but you know, he's done everything in the minor leagues to, you know, prepare himself to be here.
What's the Abraham Lincoln at home?
Everybody's all fired up for him to be here. They want to see it. They want to hear it, right?
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying?
A little bit. It's just a random.
Well, of course it's random. So, yeah, of course it's random. I mean, you know, it's the stuff. You know, just let the kid come up and play. You know, let him come up and play, and he'll be fine.
You do understand the excitement there. I mean, a lot of fans watch the minor league numbers, probably more than they used to, right?
Yeah, I respect that. But I've got a job to do myself, right? And my job is to keep all that away from him, all right? Because I need him to produce. I need him to be the best that he can be. And I don't need him wrapped up in all that. I understand where they're coming from. They're excited. I'm excited, too. But, you know, my job is to protect these guys so that they're able to produce at the highest of their ability. So that's where I'm coming from.
Does his game remind you of anybody's?
That's probably a fair question, but sitting here trying to think of somebody's game it reminds me of, he's just a very solid player. I think he's gonna be up here. He's gonna play and have fun.
What did Dayton had mentioned that you guys, like, first he thought maybe it'd be a little bit longer with Nicky, and then you guys talked, and maybe that decision got, what was that conversation like about Nicky and bringing him up?
Well, I mean, yeah, we had talked to him. 10 days, 2 weeks earlier than that. And, you know, our plan was to bring Nicky up in the middle of June or maybe even the 1st of July, depending on how he was doing and how we were doing. And Dayton just came in and said, what do you think about bringing Nicky up now? And I'm like, you know, man, let's go ahead and do it. You know, might as well. We're infusing somebody who's hot. When you bring somebody up, you at least want him to be hot. He was hot down there, swinging the bat really, really well, playing really well on defense. And, you know, you look at our lineup, and we really have been struggling in the bottom third of our lineup offensively. And you want to try to create some sequence offensively. And having Nicky in the lineup now kind of lengthens the lineup a little bit. And, you know, we talked about how much we both of us believe in this team as an organization and what they're able to accomplish. And, you know, if we can, 2 games under .500 now, if we can finish 3 or 4 games over .500 this month, and, you know, 4 or 5 games over .500 next month, and another 4 games over .500, and another 4 games over .500, we're going to be at .500 in the middle of August going into September, and who the heck knows what can happen. So, you know, let's just try to give us ourselves the best chance to win right now. And there's a lot of things that still have to happen. We got to throw more strikes. We got to quit walking, guys. You know, at least, you know, it's a little more offense and length in the lineup. So.
The other side of that is Witt's going to be playing more outfield now. He's told us before in there that, bottom line, he's sick of losing. Anything that's going to help this team is good.
What, no
did you have a conversation with Witt about this?
Of course, I had a conversation.
How'd that go?
Great. And Witt, it was a 2-minute conversation. I'm willing to do whatever we need to do. I can handle any position on the field, and I'll be willing to play wherever you want me to play. Simple as that.
What changed for you guys? You said 10 days, 2 weeks before you got in July.
I mean, I've never in my life come in and demanded that Dayton makes a move, ever. I've never come in and said, look, we need to get this guy up there. I've never done it. And the reason I've never done it is because Dayton thinks about our team 24/7. I mean, me, I take the 25 guys, try to stay focused on what we got here to win ball games every day. He thinks about this organization short-term and long-term. And, I mean, we had talked about it. He was dead serious when he gave those interviews 3 days before, whatever, that we weren't going to make the move with Nicky. And, we had talked 10 days earlier, and, I mean, our conversation was we're going to wait on Nicky. We've got Whip playing second, and hopefully, you know, we were hoping that some guys would pick it up and some guys would start getting going and create more offense. We'd start winning more games, and it just got to the point where, you know, he just felt that our best move was to go ahead and bring up Nicky right now. And, of course, I agree. So it was a conversation that we talked about all the pros and the cons, and there wasn't many cons and a lot of pros. And, you know, let's go ahead and do it now.
Tonight you got Danny going. He's really looking good this last few starts. It was really good last week. He's looking like what you guys expected.
Danny's really been throwing the ball well. He's been executing well. He's been, you know, he's back to kind of being Danny. You know, he's really establishing his fastball, throwing it for strikes. Breaking ball and changeup have been very, very effective for him. He's done a great job of changing speeds. But, you know, location has been really, really good. Yeah, that's just a sign of him being healthy and being strong and getting back in the swing of things. So that's all good news for us.
Ed, you managed your first game with the Royals 9 years ago today. You've seen, we've got a picture of Mitch on the top step as a player. Now he's your first base coach. You've seen guys retire. You've seen guys get married, grown up, yeah, win championships. I mean, what have these 9 years meant to you?
I don't know what they meant to me because I've never really been a guy to sit back and think of what 9 years have meant to me. You know, again, the only thing that I wanted to do when I got here was help change the culture and help us win a world championship. And we did that. And once you do that, you kind of check that box off, and then you move down to the next box, and that's win another world championship. So I've never really had a chance to sit back and, you know, people, you know, congratulate you for winning 700 wins. But that's all team function stuff. That's, you know, that's a product of everybody. That's a product of the front office. Great players, you know, great coaches. So, you know, again, maybe one day when, you know, I'm all said and done, I can sit back and look at my career here. But right now, I'm focused on
trying to find ways to get back to 500 and get us to the playoffs.
Does anything stand out from that first day? Do you remember anything in particular?
Not really. It does. I remember we were facing Mark Burley. And I came in and made the lineup up and then went out for batting practice. Came back and looked at the stats, and Willie Blomquist was like 12 for 18 off of Burley, and I didn't have him in the lineup. And I thought, yeah, I'm off to a great start. But we ended up winning the game. We came back late and ended up winning the game.
Everybody good?
Yep.
All right.
That was the media availability for Ned Yost as the Royals have called up Nicky. BK, what'd you say?
So go ahead and give out the code.
Okay, my bad. Yeah, you can say it over there. You ain't got to just whisper it to me. The National Cash Contest code word is TRUST, T-R-U-S-T, TRUST, 272-881. That's TRUST. If you want Chiefs talk and a chance to win $1,000 in the 30s, there's only one station in Kansas City giving you both, weekdays 7 a to 7 p. It pays to listen to the largest sports radio company in the world. Messages and data rates may apply. Your next chance to win is coming up in 1 hour, but why not go ahead and win right now? One more time for those of you hard of hearing. TRUST, T-R-U-S-T, TRUST, 272-881. That was the media availability with Ned Yost at Kauffman Stadium. We'll get back into it. I thought he had some really interesting things to say about Whit Merrifield. We'll talk about him coming up, Mr. Drive.
The Drive, 610 Sports Radio.
Back in on The Drive, coming up in 30 minutes, we'll give you a chance to, I was going to say National Cash Contest. That's actually not in 30 minutes. The
not true.
In 30 minutes.
That's not true.
My apologies with that. We'll get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City coming up in 30 minutes. My bad. I can't read time. Ned Yost just met with the media. I think that Whit Merrifield is the leader that the Royals deserve. Like, Whit Merrifield, how he has handled since he has gotten the contract, has been A-plus stuff. That if the Royals were a really good team, we'd be talking about his leadership at a Patrick Mahomes level. I'm serious. Now, I understand he's not the player that Mahomes is. But if you're talking about being an example for the young guys, being vocal, doing it with actions and not words, I don't know if Whit can be a better leader than he's been over the last couple of months. Let me play for you what he had to say, because so Whit Merrifield primarily wants to play second base. He is on the record of, I enjoy playing second base. That's where I want to play. That's where Nicky Lopez is going to play on this team. So Dayton went to him and asked Whit Merrifield about playing at second base. And Whit said, I just want to do what's best for the team. Here's what Ned Yost had to say about it.
I've never in my life come in and demanded that Dayton makes a move, ever. I've never come in and said, look, we need to get this guy up there. I've never done it. And the reason I've never done it is because Dayton thinks about our team 24/7. I mean, me, I take the 25 guys, try to stay focused on what we got here to win ball games every day. He thinks about this organization short-term and long-term. And, I mean, we had talked about it. He was dead serious when he gave those interviews 3 days before, whatever, that we weren't going to make the move with Nicky. And we had, like I said, we had talked 10 days earlier, and I mean, our conversation was we're going to wait on Nicky. We've got Whit playing second, and hopefully, you know, we were hoping that some guys would pick it up and some guys would start getting going and create more offense. We'd start winning more games, and it just got to the point where, you know, he just felt that our best move was to go ahead and bring up Nicky right now. And of course, I agree.
I think there's three big things that make you a leader, I would say. Actions. I think this is an action, in my opinion. This is an action. This is an action slash attitude. I don't think Whit would be wrong. I've been here longer. I'm the older player. I'm a borderline all-star. Where when Dayton comes to you and says, hey, we're thinking about using you all over the outfield to make room for this kid who's never played a major league game, and you tell him, that's not what I want to do. I think I can best help the team at second base. I would say when it comes to words, when the Royals were in the middle of their typical April 10-game losing streak, Whit, remember, was in the middle of his hitting streak then, the largest hitting streak we've seen since Dan Uggla, told the media, told you, the fan, hey, I understand that it's frustrating. We're doing everything we can. We're going to turn this thing around. That's words. And I would say production. That's the biggest thing. You can do all the talking and all, everything in the world. How do you perform every single night? Whit has done all three of those things. Again, I'm not calling him Mahomes, But he has shown Patrick Mahomes quarterback-type leadership over the last couple of months with this club.
For a guy that's a really good baseball player, and Dayton pointed that out, or I'm sorry, that was Ned that pointed that out, how good of a baseball player he is coming off a year where he led baseball in hits, leads the American League in hits and stolen bases. That's the thing. It's one thing to come to Chris Owings and go, bro, you haven't been playing that long. You haven't been playing that well. You're hitting .145. We're going to replace you. It's another thing to go to Whit Merrifield, an established big league player, the best player on this team in the last couple of years, and say, hey, man, we've got this young kid up that happens to play the same position as you do. Would you mind moving? And he did it gracefully. That's why you pay Whit. That's why you have a player like Whit. And that's why I keep saying that I think he would have fit in great with those World Series teams. The one position around the diamond they couldn't really figure out back in 2014 and 15 was second base until they brought in Ben Zobrist. I always say Whit Merrifield would have fit in great with those guys.
Yeah, and I got a lot of respect for what Whit Merrifield's doing, because I think there's one thing to say, I want to do what's best for the team. There is another thing, I think, to prove you want to do what's best for the team. Him taking a different role and playing in the outfield right now is the best thing for the team. You get Chris Owings out of the lineup every single day. You bring up Nicky Lopez, who we think can hit .250, .260. You bring him up, and then you play a little bit all over, and you allow Jorge Soler to either play DH or sparingly play right field. That's the best thing for the Royals. But I think we've all followed or listened to enough about professional athletes to know guys got egos. Guys come in there thinking, I just got paid this. I'm the best player on the team. Sure. I'm the face of the organization. Why do I have to move? Whit deserves a lot of credit for that. Your boss comes to you with something, and you are for, hey, I just want to win, man. I just want to win. Again, a lot of guys talk about I just want to win. Very few guys, I think, openly prove they want to win.
I am surprised, though, with what people think this move is going to lead to. And when I say people, I'm talking about Ken Rosenthal. I'm talking about Ned Yost, who brought up the fact that if they can just go over .500 a couple of games for the next couple of months, all of a sudden August is going to roll around, and they're going to be a .500 baseball team. Do you understand the reason for such optimism? Because the way that I look at it, they're 8 games out of the wild card, on pace to finish 32 games out of the wild card. I feel like there's a divide right now between Royals fans and the people that are actually playing for and managing the baseball team. Internally, I think it's crazy. I think they think, CDOT, they're still kind of in this thing. I think they're sellers. I think it's pretty obvious. But I don't think they think that.
Yeah, I mean, I would say based on what we heard today from Ken Rosenthal, they seem to think that they're in it. They're not in it.
Like, that's insane, right? Am I missing something here?
Yeah, like, I mean, sometimes somebody close to you's got to say no. That's not a good idea. Sometimes I feel like with Dayton, it's the he thinks they're a lot better than what they were. Last year, I felt like the exact same thing. At the beginning of the season, they thought they were going to be way more competitive than they ended up being. Right now, again, there's reasons to be optimistic about this team. I'm not saying all is lost and there's no hope and they don't have any direction. They have direction. They're just not winning a lot of games this year. So to operate or to think of a team who has the worst record in the American League,
right?
Hey, we've got a chance to make the playoffs this year, that's not realistic.
I think the confusion, though, is that there's a feeling. Would you agree with that? There's a feeling that things are heading in the right direction versus last year when there was a feeling that things were stagnant. And I think there's confusion there between us as fans and talking heads and the front office, where maybe the front office actually thinks that this team can compete while the rest of us go, yeah, you're probably still 2 or 3 years away.
I think we look at Nicky Lopez, and I would say every day they are getting closer to getting guys off the team that are not going to be here long term. Last year, it was a bunch of guys that weren't going to be here. Lucas Duda wasn't going to be here long-term. John Jay wasn't going to be here long-term. Like, they were playing a lot of guys day in, day out that just had no business being here and were not pushing your organization forward. Now, with bringing up Nicky Lopez, you're playing guys like, I mean, look at their lineup. I mean, 1 through 6, you're playing guys that you feel are going to be here, guys that are going to push your organization forward, and guys that will give you a chance to win long-term. That's how I want the Royals thinking. I don't want them thinking of how can we make the playoffs in 2019. You ain't making the playoffs in 2019. I want you thinking about the same way that they let Alcides Escobar grow. You remember, Alcides Escobar, they have him in a late-game situation to try to hit. He'd strike out or do something wrong, and fans were upset and said, why didn't you pinch hit? And I remember Ned Yost said, we do this because we know at some point he's going to get important at bats, and we want him to be used to it. You need to be treating Nicky Lopez the exact same way. I want you treating Hunter Dozier the exact same way, Adalberto Mondesi the same way. We want you to be here when we start playing important games in September. And part of the process is having you play in these games, having you get enough sample size, having you deal with failure in the major leagues and how you continue to progress.
Yeah, there's always going to be growing pains. Even back in 2011, when the Royals were bringing up Duffy and Moose and Haas and Salvi and Kelvin Herrera, it took them a couple of years to win, which is why that's when I'm going to start to believe in this team, when they actually turn the corner. I can hear Rosenthal. I can hear the manager of the baseball team talk about, man, maybe we're going to be a 500. Once I actually see it, once I actually see the fruits of the labor, because so far what I've seen is a nice nucleus that isn't winning a lot of baseball games. They still have, as you pointed out, the worst record in the American League.
Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll get back into the top stories of the day in Kansas City. Earlier, we had J.J. Cooper on the show. He thinks that Nicky Lopez could be the next Whit Merrifield. Plus, Ken Rosenthal had a lot of interesting things on the Royals today. We'll share them with you coming up. It's
The Drive. The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
Back in on The Drive, coming up in 10 minutes, we'll get into the top stories of the day in Kansas City. Earlier today, you and I had J.J. Cooper of Baseball America on the show, and he actually compared Nicky Lopez to Whit Merrifield.
He is a different player. I'm not comparing him to Whit Merrifield because they are a little different. I think Merrifield has more power. But when I say that he's a guy who could exceed expectations, it's much like Whit Merrifield because, you know, he's actually getting up to the big leagues a good bit earlier than Merrifield did. But this is credit to the Royals. Like, ever since that was not a great year for shortstops in the draft, and Nicky Lopez was not the top college shortstop or the second or the third or the fourth or the fifth. But from the day they drafted him, the Royals always believed that they really had something in Lopez.
I'm not even saying that he needs to be current Whit Merrifield. If he can consistently be rookie year Whit Merrifield. So Whit Merrifield came up in 2016. He was 27 years old. He hit 283, had a 323 on-base percentage, slugged 392. Now, he didn't hit for any power. The power came the next season. He went from 2 home runs to 19 home runs. He had never shown that kind of power in his career. But if you're telling me that right now I can press the button and Nicky Lopez, especially given the fact that your shortstop appears to be a guy who can hit for power and hit for a high average, and Dozier looks like a guy that could hit for a high average, if you're telling me that the guy in the middle of the infield is a guy that can hit 280, doesn't hit for a whole lot of pop, but stays healthy and can play a really good second base, I'll take that for Nicky Lopez.
Yeah, the Royals are going to be thrilled if Nicky Lopez turns into what Whit Merrifield has been. I see more of a comparison, I think, with Alcides Escobar, where he can play an infield position really well because Nicky Lopez is going to be a multiple-time Gold Glove winner. As good as he's been at the bat, as much as an overachiever as he's been at the bat, because he's been the Royals' best player at the minor league level this year. But let's not get it twisted. He was a top 10 prospect down at AAA heading into this year. So it's not like he was the fifth overall pick, whatever Bubba Starling was. He was a fifth round pick. But I do think that he could come up to the major league level right away, hit 260, 270, play Gold Glove caliber second base, and be around for the next 5 or 6 years, which again adds to a core of players that looks like you're in a whole lot better position right now going forward than you were this time last year.
BK, let me ask you this really quickly. Because Whit, I kind of feel like what we do a lot of times is kind of like what's happened with Mecole Hardman. Well, he plays on the Chiefs, so let's find the best-case scenario if just a Chiefs player. Let's say that he can turn into Omar Infante of what he was. Not the Royals' bad Omar Infante. I'm saying is Omar Infante is a career 271 hitter.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Infante was good before he got to the Royals.
Agreed.
he was a good player.
Didn't hit for a whole lot of power. His career high in home runs was 16. He was a consistent 4-5-3, but a guy that, again, played a consistent second base, a consistent shortstop, good defensively, hit for a decent average. I'll take him being Omar Infante. I don't need him to be Whit Merrifield. Like, Whit Merrifield is a borderline all-star. Whit Merrifield is a guy who I think legitimately, if he played on another team, if he played for the Yankees or the Red Sox, I think would legitimately make the all-star team. I don't need Nicky Lopez to do that. I think you got guys like that on your roster. I think Demondesi can be that. The way Dodger's playing, he can be that. You got guys you think can be all-stars. I need you to be a consistent player that every single day you know he can be a good two-hitter. That's what they could use right now, too.
I don't know if that's what he's going to be for the next couple of years. I know that he's hitting in the two-hole tonight. I think he overachieved at the minor league level. Something tells me he's not going to come up to the big league level and hit 360. But I think that the plan for the Royals is, hopefully, and this is best case scenario, that he turns into Frank White, a guy that's a 260, 270 career hitter, a guy that has a mantle full of Gold Gloves, and a guy that plays on the team for 8 or 9 years. That's the plan with Nicky Lopez. Now, it may be a little bit early to start comparing him to Frank White since he hasn't even played one game.
I mean, you say pretty early. I think that, I mean, I don't know if you can be much more early that you think he can be one of the five best defensive middle infielders of all time.
Oh, I do. I think that not all time. But I think going in next year, I think if we're talking about good middle infielders, talking about turning the double play combination, Lopez and Mondesi is going to look really nice, hopefully for the next 5 to 7 years up the middle.
Baseball fans from the other side of the state will know this reference, and I think a lot of Royals fans will as well because he's been talked about as a potential trade candidate in the past for the Royals. I think Colton Wong might be an interesting comp for what you could see from Nicky Lopez. A guy who hasn't had a ton of power in his big league career. He's typically around 5 to 10 homers over the course of the season, but he's going to hit about 260 or so. He's going to get on base at a pretty high clip, and he's a really, really good defender. So if I were to make a non-Royals comparison, and it's hard with these because a lot of our listeners don't really watch much baseball outside of Kansas City, I think Colton Wong might be an interesting one.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Colton Wong is a 250 hitter. You probably want the average to be a little bit more. But, I mean, I don't think that's bad for what Nicky Lopez is. I think maybe the expectations are a little bit out of whack because he's hitting 350 the first 40 games down in the minor league. That maybe people have inflated what he can be as an offensive player. But, man, if you're telling me, just especially given the hole they've had at second base for so long in this organization before Whit Merrifield got here, but you still keep Whit Merrifield's versatility and he can still play second base if you need him to, man, if you're telling me that Nicky Lopez can turn into a guy that can hit 260, 265, play 140, 150 games, be a solid defensive player, that's a really good best-case scenario.
And before what we figure out Nicky Lopez is going to be for the next 3, 4, 5, 10 years in a Royals uniform, this year we would all agree that he's a major upgrade from Chris Owings. So at least right now they're making their baseball team better than they were a couple of days ago.
Yeah, no doubt. And, I mean, Jeffrey Flanagan thinks that he can be part of their core.
Absolutely want him to. I mean, that is the plan. There's not a ton of other second basemen in the system. So, they would love to be able to pencil Mondi and Lopez up the middle for the next 8 to 10 years. And certainly those are two athletic guys who can do it.
I want to read this to you really quickly before we get to the top stories of the day. This is from Ken Rosenthal from The Athletic, one of the best baseball reporters in the world. Quote, Alex Gordon earning $20 million in his final guaranteed year of his contract is not as logical of a trade candidate as he may appear. As a player with 10 years of service and 5 with the same club, he holds the right to veto any deal and may not want to leave the club that made him the second overall pick back in 2005. A trade would also void Gordon's $23 million mutual option for 2020 if Gordon wanted to join a contender. The Royals almost certainly would try to accommodate him. But the safer bet is that he stays put, then re-signs with the Royals as he finishes his career in Kansas City. I'm on record saying with Gordon, the Gordon situation to me is like fairly easy to understand. If Gordon wants to stay on the team, to me, they owe it to Alex Gordon to continue to accommodate him to stay on the team.
Not at $23 million bucks.
Yeah, but I mean, that's next year, mutual option.
Right.
I'm saying next year, I'm saying right now, you don't have a choice. Next year, you got a choice. I wouldn't bring Gordon back at $23 million next year. But if Gordon wants to void the deal and then restructure his deal and start over and maybe play two more years, but at a way cheaper price, I'd be for doing that. But right now, while he's on the team and he's due this money that you've already committed to giving to him, Alex Gordon needs to be on the team at the end of the year. Unless Gordon comes to you and says, hey, I really enjoyed Kansas City. I want to play 3 more years. I want to try to go win another ring. If he comes to you and says that, then yeah, you trade him. But I think Gordon has done too much for this organization, and they've shown too great of a loyalty to Gordon to move on.
That's why he's an interesting case study, because he has value. He has trade value. He's coming up to the end of his contract. He still plays a really good outfield. He's hitting better than he has in years. He's a guy that still has value for a team that's making a playoff push, but, and it's a big but, like Sir Mix-a-Lot likes, that he's played for the Royals for his entire career. Therefore, they're not just going to go, all right, for the last couple of years, we're going to let you make a run toward the playoffs, then we're going to build a statue for you eventually, even though you end your career on a different team. I'm with you. It's weird because Alex Gordon has trade value, but do you trade a guy that's played 95% of his career in your uniform at the very end? I don't think so.
Especially when you preach as much family and community as they have with Alex Gordon. Like, you cannot do it. Like, you cannot trade Alex Gordon unless, obviously, he has a no-trade clause. Unless Gordon comes to you and says, okay, I want to go play for a contending team. I think you guys can get something of value for me. I mean, Gordon holds all the cards here. I mean, he has a no-trade clause. He doesn't have to go anywhere if he doesn't want to. Coming up in 2 minutes, we'll get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. It's The Drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.